Take your Bible to Acts chapter 28, would you? Acts chapter 28. How many of y'all here have been to Triple S? You've been to Triple S. You've been to Triple S, all right? Good number here. Brother Blanton's folks, good, all right? So that's a blessing. Acts chapter 28. I announced this morning what I was going to try to preach to you tonight. Did not get that finished because it didn't feel good today. So I'm going to preach to you something different, but it'll be Bible, all right? Amen. So we're just going to preach that. Acts chapter 28, if you will, look in verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked, that's the barbarians, when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I just want to say this to you. Look, the stories that are in the Bible are not there by accident. I believe the Apostle Paul had a lot more experiences than are recorded for us in the book of Acts. I mean, there was a lot more went on than is recorded in the New Testament. A lot more things that if you're like me, I like to sit down and talk to people about experiences they've had. To me, it's a blessing, it's a challenge, and it's entertaining sometimes. I could sit down, Lance and I could entertain you with the experiences we had yesterday. And it was fun. It's funnier now than it was yesterday, though, all right? And God doesn't record everything. But what he does put in the Bible is there for a reason, all right? There's something we can learn. There's something that we can benefit from what that we find right here. And I'll be honest, I read passages like this and I kind of just marvel that God would give us this kind of detail of what went on. And I think there's several applications we're going to look at. I'm going to try to do that tonight. I want to preach to you on the subject of when the viper bites. When the viper bites. Now, because I want you to focus on the snake, would you? I want you to focus on the snake. Just think with me from the point of view of these barbarians, all right? Now, when they say barbarians, we usually think of people running around with clubs that grunt, and that's not what the Bible is talking about when it says barbarian, okay? The truth of the matter is, in those days, everybody was a barbarian who wasn't a Greek. If you weren't a Greek, you're a barbarian. So you're in good crowd tonight, a bunch of barbarians, okay? And they looked and they saw, and from their viewpoint, here they are looking at this man, Paul. He'd escaped the storm. He had survived the shipwreck. Then he gets bit by this poisonous snake. He gets bit by this viper. And they thought, well, hey, you know, just the gods, they would have said it this way, the gods weren't going to let him get away. But he did, all right? He did. Now, you said, what in the world has this got to do with us? I think you and I do battle with the old serpent, the devil. All right? That's the viper. That's the serpent we contend with. All right? Look over in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? Revelation chapter 20. Lest you think I be inventing something. All right? The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Hey, that's the serpent we do battle with. That's the old viper. That's the one. He sneaks out every now and then to bite us. We're Sunday night crowd. You don't have a lot of lost people that come to church on Sunday night. And my dad, when he was a young pastor and young preacher, he said, man, Sunday night's when you preach the evangelistic messages, because Sunday night was when lost people came to church. But if lost people are going to come to church day, normally they come Sunday morning. But I'm preaching to save folks. Here you are, you got that profession. Hey, listen, the devil is going to come out every now and then to get a hold of you. You can count on it. Now, sometimes he doesn't come personally, but he sends somebody else to bite you, okay? He finds somebody else that he can use to send out. You say, well, what am I going to do, all right? Well, here you go. Let me just talk a few things just to help you tonight. Look, if you will, in verse 3, all right? It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. The heat. Heat brings him out. Heat brings him out. Here we live in Texas. We know what it is to have some snakes and around. Usually, man, if the weather's cold, you're pretty safe. Snakes are in, they're bundled up or denned up somewhere, and they're being cold-blooded. They don't get out and move around a lot. But those days begin to get warm, and we even begin to hear them talk. I always think of it this way. On the news, they come on and talk to you and warn you about getting out in the parks. And they say, snakes could be on the move. Now, to me, that is advice for city slickers that are ignorant. If you grow up like I did, nobody has to tell you, hey, when it gets warm, snakes come out. We know that. We know that. They will come out, all right? Those old warm days, they get active. They get active. You said, man, what's that got to do with us? I'll say this to you. When you really begin to warm up to the things of God, that's when the devil's going to come out to bite you. When you begin to just, you know, that spiritual heat begins to build. As long as you're sitting at home, as long as you're just laying back, taking it easy, and man, if we were to take your spiritual temperature, it might even be in the minus degrees, all right? Hey, guess what? You're safe. Devil doesn't need to bother you because you're not causing any trouble. You're not presenting a problem to him. But man, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to get a hold of you, and he begins to deal with you as a child of God, and begins to stir your soul, begins to warm you up, then that old serpent's going to get out. He's going to set out to bite you, all right? That spiritual heat brings him out, and it'll come. So when you need to look for it, all right? You need to look for it. Two kinds of churches, basically, liberal and the church that's on fire for God. Can I tell you, this devil leaves a liberal church alone. They're cold, they're deader than a doornail. Devil leaves them alone. But if you got a church that begins to do something for God, begins to preach the word, and the members themselves, I'm not just talking about what goes on inside the building, behind the pulpit, at service times. I'm talking about during the week when members of the church begin to get stirred for God and begin to invite people to church and begin to really live for God and have a good testimony that people can see and influence people for good and for God. That's when the devil shows up. He's going to come. He'll come to church. He's looking to cause problems, all right? The heat brings him out. And when he gets there, he likes to bite. You know, I've heard everybody say, you know, about this snake or that snake, and they say, you know, you just got to stir them to get them to bite. They're normally not aggressive. That's not the way it's always seemed to me. To me, grass snakes are aggressive. Chicken snakes are aggressive. They just seem to have that about them. Hey, that old serpent, the devil, he's aggressive. He's going to come after you, all right? And he's going to bite. I want you to look at verse 4, would you? Look at verse 4. The Bible said, when the barbarian saw the venomous beast, notice, hang on his hand. Hang on his hand. This viper didn't just strike. He got a hold. Now, I don't know where he got him on his hand. I don't know if it's on this side, between the thumb. I don't have any idea. But the Bible said the barbarians watched, and that viper was hanging on his hand. Hey, I believe that describes the devil so good. He comes, and he likes to hang on. He likes to hang on. It's not just a quick strike and gone. No, when he slips those fangs into you, he wants to hang on to you. You know, that's why preachers get up and we preach and we warn you against playing with sin. We warn you, stay away from this or stay away from that. Because we realize the devil, when he bites, does not bite to turn loose. He bites to hang on to you. To get things going. If he can get in a church, I guarantee you he doesn't just come by, you know, kind of as a sniper, zip through, take a shot, and go out. No, man, he gets in, he wants to hang on. He gets into your life, he wants to hang on. He has the desire to stay right there. Hey, the longer he's there, the more venom he can pump into you. Just simply put, all right? The longer you allow him to stay around, the more venom he pumps into you. You know, we caution people, we just come back from youth camp and preachers preach to young people about their friends and who they listen to and all of that kind of thing. Look, there's some people that you don't hang around them, all right? You don't let them hang around you. They will pull you down. You say, well, I'm a better Christian than that. Yeah, until you keep letting them hang on. Until you keep letting them hang on. They hang on to you. They don't want to turn loose. Why? The purpose is to bring you down. To force into you that vile venom, that bitterness, that hatred that can get into you, that evil thoughts that can come to you. Hey, the devil wants to do that. He wants to get into you. He wants to stay there. Why? He's intent on causing as much trouble as he possibly can and doing just as much damage as he can do while he's there. That's the whole reason, all right? He comes in, he's going to stay in there, cause trouble, do as much damage. He gets into your life. Gets into your life. He's not content with one part of it. He wants it all. And he's going to do as much damage in your life and in your heart as he possibly can do. Just as much as he can. Why? He hangs on. He hangs on with all that's within him, all right? He hangs on. Now, what do we do? What do we do? Now, sometimes God's people feed him. We feed him. We go listen, we go looking for that gossip. We go to that disgruntled individual. Hey, what did you say the preacher did? What did you say Miss So-and-so said? Were you there? No, but I heard it. I heard it from my friend who heard it from their friend. Hey, we feed it. We feed it. Boy, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't allow it to happen in your life. Hey, can I say this to you? When the devil sinks his fangs into you and you begin to drain spiritually, don't just keep going to the same place and allowing him to be there. Don't just let your mind think, well, nothing I can do. There is something you can do. But we get, you know, a little bit depressed along the way. We get discouraged along the way. And we quit fighting back against the devil. That's not what we do. Look at verse 5. Here's Paul. Paul screamed and ran around. No, it doesn't say that, right? That's what I would have done. No. It says he shook off the beast into the fire. He shook off the beast into the fire. Hey, the picture in the scriptures, if you look at it, is of a man who's basically unconcerned about that beast. I mean, he jumped, grabbed him. He was hanging on. Paul didn't scream and run and yell. He just shook him off. Shook him off. Just shake him off, all right? And when I say unconcerned, I don't mean he had an attitude spiritually of unconcern, no. But he was unconcerned about that viper. He shook him off. He just took it in stride. He said, man, it's no big deal. It's nothing new. He looked at, you know, and just shook that old snake off into the fire. I've got a friend that his kids, I was with him when his kids were little. They're grown now. But I can remember something happened to his son. He did something on smacks his finger or something like that. And I remember his dad, the boy was crying. He's, oh, just shake it off, shake it off. And that little kid go, but he shook it off. He shook it off. Hey, sometimes, you know, that's what we need to do. You know, I told you, oftentimes it's not the devil that turns up to bite us. It's somebody he sends. Somebody he sends. Here you are trying to serve God, trying to let God use your life the best you can, taking whatever abilities you've got and let the Lord use you. And here comes the critic. Here comes the critic. And a lot of people, boy, when that critic comes out, they get devastated. Can I just say this to you? Shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you a bit. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be critics. Well, why didn't you do it this way? By the way, have you ever noticed the people that don't do it are always willing to tell you how you should have done it? Now, we're not doing anything. We can tell you how you ought to do it. You know, we've not lifted a hand, but we can tell you how you, yeah. There's always people like that. There's some people, I think, the only reason they come to church is look for something to criticize. You know, just to find fault. You say, what do you do, preacher, when you do that? Shake it off. Just shake it off. Why? We ought to learn to expect the attack of the devil. Amen. Learn to expect that. Don't think, I'll live for God, and I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and live happily ever after. There'll never be heard a discouraging word, and the clouds are going to be, they'll never be there. The skies be sunny all the day. Boy, you've got the wrong view of serving God. You check out what happened to folks in the Bible. They went through some tough times. There were people that criticized them. The devil attacked them, all right? If you've been saved any length of time, you know he's going to come after you from time to time. It will happen. Boy, you know, the health and wealth crowd preaches that if you're right with God, you'll be healthy and you'll be wealthy. That's a lie from hell. And no scripture for that whatsoever. Yeah, I mean, just over and over. But people get discouraged. Well, I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be different. I'm not going to be here next Sunday because I'm tired of working. I'm going to take a day off. No. Not at all. Brother Jesse West. Brother Jesse West pastors now at Westside Baptist Church in Durant, Oklahoma. Brother Jesse got saved here. Brother Jesse, I had the privilege of baptizing him. He's called to preach here. He was married here. And boy, he surrendered to the work of God. And God put him, I don't know if God put him through it or the devil did. But man, he's been through the meal. The things that have happened in places he's gone to serve, and The devil's just thrown everything at him that he could. Brother Jesse called me a good while back now and said, "Preacher, I'm going to celebrate my 10th anniversary here on June the 25th, and I want you to come preach for me." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it." What a wonderful time. How'd he do it? Well, he didn't quit because the devil bit. Satan gave him a run for his money. But he stayed in there. He stayed at it. He kept at it. And God's used him through those years, even through the tough times and the difficult times. Man, there's been times he'd called me on the phone and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." And he'd begin to tell me what was going on. I'd try to give him some counsel about what to do, you know. But the truth of the matter is, he just had to gut it up from within, shake it off, and go on. Just shake it off and go on, all right? I'll say this to you. Oftentimes, the devil comes around right after a mountaintop experience. Boy, when you're on top of the mountain, you're shouting, rejoicing, the goodness of God, things are going good, and man, all of a sudden, the old devil comes along and sinks his teeth into you. Why? He wants to discourage you. So what am I going to do? Shake it off. Shake it off. You said, how do you do that? We probably would shake it off if a snake got a hold of us. I'm sure if we were in the situation Paul was, we'd dump that wood on the fire and maybe dump the wood and put his hands out to warm and bam, there's that snake bit him. We probably wouldn't go, "What do I do now?" No, I imagine just reflex would kick in. The truth of the matter is anybody within 25 yards of you would be in danger. Because you'd sling that snake on them, you know. Old Paul just shook it off in the fire. He got rid of it. You said, "Well, preacher, how do I get rid of those things when it comes to me?" One thing you need to learn to do is forgive people. You just need to learn to forgive people. Just say, "Hey, man, I'm going to forgive it." Well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. They don't have to ask for you to forgive. They don't have to do that. You can just forgive. People do things. Hey, sometimes people do things out of ignorance. Everybody that you feel like attacks you is not necessarily doing so out of a premeditated desire to get after you. Sometimes people do things out of ignorance. A lot of criticism is leveled from ignorance. They don't understand, they don't see, they don't know. So how do I shake it off? Forgive them. Just forgive them. Tell you something else that will help you shake that kind of thing off is your dedication. You'll just be fully, completely dedicated to God. You don't let things bother you too much. It ought to be sort of like you throwing water on a duck. No duck gets offended if you throw water on him. Just doesn't happen. If you're really dedicated to God, okay, if you're truly 100% sold out, dedicated to God, just let it be like water off a duck's back. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it stir you up. Don't let it make you bitter. Just go on your way. Just go on your way. You can't stop. And you can't stop just because somebody slings a little mud on you. Can't do it. I've had all kinds of things. I just use this illustration. I've had all kinds of things happen to me out bus visiting. All kinds of things, you know. I've been ran from dogs. Fortunately, I've never been dog bit, but I'm careful, all right? I run from dogs, you know, and I try to make sure I have a big lead because I'm not as fast as the dog is, all right? But I've had to do that. I've been visiting on the bus route over in Diamond Hill. I could take you just about to the point where it happened. Over there in Sabine Place Apartments, on Saturday come up, it was hot, walking along there, and this kid, he's watering with a water hose. He saw me. He watered me with a water hose, all right? He said, "What'd you do?" Well, I said, "I ain't never going bus visiting again." Amen. Stinking little heathen kids. Who cares what happens to them? Oh, man, I just shook it off, went on your way. Actually, felt pretty good, you know, if y'all know the truth. I've leaned up against a post and come my way with a white stripe down the back of my shirt. Ruined the shirt and a pair of pants. I'm standing there at the door talking to the adult in the house. Couldn't they have at least said, oh, watch out, that paint's wet? I figured it out later when I got home, took my clothes off and said, what's that? I mean, you know, there it was. I never went by that house again. No, I did. I did. Hey, you don't let things like that get you. No thing. I've even had a bird nail me. Out visiting. It would have been one thing if it just been the bird, but kids were watching. And kids react the way kids do, just like y'all are. Just like you mature people do. That's the way those immature people reacted. Man, they cracked up, you know. You lose your dignity as a bus captain when the bird nails you, all right? So what do you do? Well, quit. No, man. You don't quit. Look, if you're dedicated to the task, you stay with it. You stay with it. You don't let things like that mess you up. Hey, it's called faithfulness. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Whatever comes, whatever criticism, don't let that keep you out of the house of God. You say, well, I got my feelings hurt. Shake it off. Shake it off. Just stay faithful to God, all right? Stay faithful. Preacher, I don't know how you can do that. You surrender. You surrender yourself to Him. Remember what Paul said? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hey, that's what it is. That's surrender. That's surrender. You read what we are given about the life story of Paul. I just want to tell you, people didn't welcome him into their town. Oftentimes, he went to town. I heard a preacher say one time, first place he went was a jail. Look it over, because he figured he'd be there before long. He checked it out. Hey, it's all right. But you surrender yourself to God and say, Lord, it's not me anymore. I'm doing it for you. You just shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it overcome you, all right? By the way, oftentimes, one thing that might help you, you need to consider the spiritual level of the one the devil uses. Consider the spiritual level of the one the devil uses. Oftentimes, the devil can reach that weak, maybe newborn Christian, and they're weak, they have no discernment, and they're the one that's going to come and maybe say something critical. They're the ones that may come and do something to hurt your feelings. Consider their spiritual level. Years ago, we moved to Fort Worth. We lived at 4036 Oscar. And we live right next door to the church. Our church then was at 1800 Terminal Road. And the church was there. The parking lot was here. A driveway ran from the church parking lot right to our house. We lived in the church parsonage there. And there was one day I was out there. It was during the summer. And I don't know how old I was. Probably 14 years old, something like that. And this guy came out behind me. And he started smarting off and saying things. And he was using language that my dad would have tore my hide up if I'd used. And so I just thought, best thing for me to do is just turn around and go home. You know, I'll just go inside. Well, when I did that, man, he really picked it up. And he began to challenge me, you know. And he took some of the gravel that's on the church parking lot and threw it at me and hit me, you know, and called me names. And he said, well, what did you do? I kept walking. He said, why? He was about 10 years old. I'll be honest with you. Don't misunderstand me. I've never thought, you know, I'm not that. But I do believe I could have whipped a 10-year-old kid without any problem. But I had to consider the level he was on. Man, what good would it have done? Man, how good are you? Hey, Dad, I just beat up a 10-year-old kid. I'm sure Dad would have said, son, I'm proud of you. Yeah, buddy, you're the man. The little boy goes home. He'd have went home, you know, maybe bloodied a little bit. And he tells his parents. Parents come back and they jump on me. I said, it's not my fault. He started it. How does that look? How does that look when you're 4 or 5 years older than the person? Well, he started it. But that's the way we do sometimes among God's people. That young, that new Christian, that immature Christian maybe says something and we take offense and we take something that ought to be like water off a duck's back and we inflate it to a big thing and the devil's over here going, amen, going to bite again. Hey, consider the spiritual level of the one the devil uses. Learn to shake it off, okay? Learn to shake it off. You're going to go through some, you will go through some experiences in life as you serve God. And the devil will use them if he can to discourage you, sidetrack you, pull you away, to pull you down, to pull you out. But man, don't let him bite you. Just shake it off, all right? By the way, look at verse 6 and we're done, okay? Howbeit they look when he should have swollen, or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. They changed their minds. See, remember their first thought were, this guy must have been a terrible dude. I mean, he went through the storm and he was shipwrecked and all of that, and he got saved, thought, went finally out, and here he is, he can't even get away from that. The serpent bites him. And they waited on him to fall, die. But it changed their mind. Can I say this to you? If you'd learn to shake some things off, you might change the mind of a few barbarians yourself, okay? You just might be able to do it. Unfortunately, some Christians do a good imitation of barbarians. Now, we shouldn't, okay? We shouldn't. God help us learn to shake some things off. Just let it go. I'm not going to let that pull me out, you know. I don't know how many people that I've talked to through the years that let what some other church member do cause them to get out of the house of God and get away from God, never go back to church again, and not have anything to say, and then say things about religion and religious people. One person did that to them. One person. Hey, shake it off. Boy, it'd give a good testimony. Doesn't it give a good testimony to see Christians act like Christians ought to act? Instead of just talk like Christians? But to really act like they're saved? Man, something happened, you know? I don't know about you, but man, when I got saved, something happened to me. Things have never been the same since. I don't want it to ever be the same again. God help us to never let that thing happen in us. If the old devil bites, shake him off. Don't let him hang on and keep pumping that venom into you. Get rid of him in a hurry. Shake him off. Put him back in the fire. I'm not going to listen to you. Not going to happen to me. Why? I'm interested in my testimony. What other people see. Other people see. God help us to realize the devil will come. He will attack you. Now, he doesn't have to come in person. There's plenty of people willing to do his bidding. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Preacher, they hurt my feelings. Well, be a big boy. Get over it. Just shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it. You say, well, don't you ever get your feelings hurt? Yes, my wife hurts my feelings a lot. I was kidding about that. But yeah, I get my feelings hurt. Just as human as you are. But man, I'm not going to let the devil have a heyday there just because I got my feelings hurt. I've still got something to do for God. There's a world out there that needs to see Christians that'll just shake it off. Keep on going. Keep on going. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight.